On college campuses across Florida, fears are mounting about how difficult it is becoming to fill open positions at the state's universities. Since the beginning of the year, Governor Ron DeSantis has been promoting his plans to get rid of tenure and diversity programs and restrict what can be taught in college classrooms. Here he is explaining why he's targeting universities during his inaugural speech back in January.
And we must ensure that our institutions of higher learning are focused on academic excellence and the pursuit of truth, not the imposition of trendy ideologies.
Since he made that speech, he has transformed New College, that is the state's free-thinking liberal arts college, into a conservative college. He has signed bills that restrict what can be taught and how faculty is hired and fired. We'll hear from an educator who's made the tough decision to leave Florida following this pressure campaign. But first, let's turn to Divya Kumar, the Tampa Bay Times higher education reporter. She has been reporting on these concerns and has been looking over the limited data that's available. Hi, Divya.
Hi.
So can you just run us through what the governor has done and said that has caused so much concern among college employees?
Sure. It's sort of been over the last couple of years, both the governor and the state legislature has kind of had an increased focus on higher education. Rhetoric has sort of shifted to discussions about college campuses being places where indoctrination was taking place. And then there's sort of been a series of bills focused on that. Last year, there was the intellectual diversity bill, which had surveys trying to gauge the political spectrum on college campuses of faculty, staff, students. But it also includes language saying that universities can't shield people from being uncomfortable, and also allows students to record for the purposes of building evidence. There was also the Stop Woke Act, which is still being contested in courts. But that's the one that includes language saying that nobody should be made to feel guilt or anguish based on race, gender, for actions committed in the past. And I think in total, the Board of Governors here has said there was about 30 pieces of legislation passed this year that kind of touch higher education in some way.
So right now, a lot of the response to these actions has been anecdotal, gathering comments from people who say they're having a tough time filling positions or hearing from people who've chosen not to take a position or have chosen to leave. But what kind of hard evidence are you and other journalists collecting, or what are you looking for?
It is definitely important to note that, like, the data we have doesn't really tell the full picture, and that each school kind of keeps records a little bit differently. In a story that I was working on with my colleague Ian Hodgson at the Tampa Bay Times, and requested data regarding resignations, retirement, and failed searches. Some of these numbers that we're getting, they kind of reflect different categories of people. So, like, at the University of Florida, those numbers are a lot higher, but they also include postdoc researchers and people who are kind of expected to leave within a certain time. So, for example, at the University of South Florida, 146 faculty resigned in 2022 compared to about 80 in 2018. At Florida State, that was 136 compared to about 89. At the University of Florida, it was 1,087 compared to 920. And I think at UCF, it was 103 compared to 96. I don't think it necessarily tells the full picture, and not all of those have reasons for why people left, but I think that's just kind of the numbers we have so far.
And obviously, real hard research sometimes takes years before you can really get data in. Florida does have some of the more competitive schools in this country, and certainly as faculty either leave or these schools fail to attract faculty, they could take research dollars with them. What kind of impact might this have? If this turns out to be a real brain drain, what impact could that have?
That's something that a lot of faculty are kind of also asking, what sort of happens next and what happens if people leave and take their research dollars with them.
Have journalists put this to the governor? Is this a concern of his?
I think from my understanding, the governor and his supporters see these measures as bringing more accountability to universities. I think a lot of faculty who I've kind of spoken to kind of see a disconnect between the understanding of how universities operate and kind of the policies that are coming down.
Interesting. That's Tampa Bay Times' Divya Kumar. Divya, thank you so much for your time and your reporting.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to Caroline Ali Khan. She spoke to Divya for her reporting on this topic and joins us now to share her story. Caroline, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for the amplification of our voices. I appreciate it.
As I understand it, you have been lecturing at the University of North Florida in Jacksonville for more than a decade. You have now decided to leave. Why?
There are attacks that are happening here in Florida that have really made this a very unsafe place to be. And that is really concerning to me. So I think that between SB 256 and SB 266, these bills that are one attacking higher education, the other attacking unions, there's been such a pointed attack on academic freedom, tenure, the collective rights of faculty, students' rights to learn, and the overall quality of higher education and the ability of higher education to do what its mission is, which, you know, to use knowledge, to use research, to heal the world, to move the ball forward for all of us. That is really under attack here, and that's incredibly concerning to me. And so that's the fundamental rights of educators, academicians, to be the professionals that we are trained to be, to tell the truth. And the quality of higher education and, you know, in all of our disciplines, ethics, the ethics of our disciplines mandate that truth comes before politics. And, you know, that's really being attacked right now. And our ability to care for our students, all of that is really in danger of being severely compromised.
When you say attacked, what exactly do you mean? What are you worried about? If you were to stay in Florida, what are you concerned might happen?
I think that educators in higher education, actually all educators K-12 as well, have reason to be concerned about their safety in lots of ways. So obviously one of the first ones is economic safety. Are we going to be able to continue to do our jobs? And if we are dismissed or if tenure is not renewed because of perceptions of that we are not doing whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing according to these new laws, there's an economic attack there. There is also this sort of psychological and emotional safety, the stress of trying to tell the truth and to do our jobs when our teaching and our research can be weaponized and used against us. There's concern about physical safety. There's social safety. So the safety nets that are the social ones, the centers, the organizations that we depend on and our students depend on. So both the unions and things like LGBT centers that support us are also in danger of going away or being harmed and not having the power, being weakened. And then the broader safety issue of authoritarian and political control of educational systems does never do good things for a democratic society. So, you know, when our freedom to debate ideas, to interrogate history, to be joyful or troubled by the world, to work through these things together, when this institution that has allowed people to be in a place where we can hear each other and think about what it means to hear each other, which is vital to a democracy, when that is stripped, then there are much bigger concerns as well. So I think safety on lots of levels, economic, political, physical, social, and then more broadly, those are all under attack. And that's incredibly concerning.
Anecdotally, how widespread are these concerns among your colleagues? And do you get the sense that they are divided politically? In other words, are those among you who are further to the left of the political scale more likely to be concerned than those who are further to the right?
I can certainly say that the mission of my university, the University of North Florida, or at least currently, and of educational institutions in general, is to try to tell the truth and to do good and to debate and to have academic freedom. And although, yes, probably in terms of the left, but this attack on academic freedom isn't something that I think helps anyone, you know, regardless of their politics. That's very concerning.
Where do you head next?
I am going to Molloy University in New York, and it's a university that has a mission of social justice. And it's a place that's really trying to make education sort of synonymous with nourishment and healing, which is very much the opposite of what's going on here. And they're allowed to pursue that without political interference. So I know that that's what the universities in Florida want to do as well. But whether or not they're going to be able to is really being called into question.
Well, good luck to you. Caroline Ali Khan, good luck with the move, and thank you so much.
Thank you.